Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant, who is an estate and tax planning attorney extraordinaire.
I am. That's fantastic.
And Paul, we have some new news on some definite tax implications
now of living problems.
In Washington State.
Yep.
Kind of nice. We don't have a state income tax, but there has been a workaround that our government has been working on for a while, and you're going to tell us about that.
Yeah, that's right. It is actually in the Washington Constitution that we cannot have a tax placed on money that we have. And so you can't just have a tax based upon income or money that sits there. So that's why Washington does not have an income tax. But there has been a growing voice that we should have one.
A lot of states do.
Yes, mm-hmm. And that it creates an inequity in the taxing system because people who make very good amount of money, let's say $200,000 or more, that if there's not a tax based upon what you make, then individuals who are making much more money, the only taxing system we have then creates a regressive tax system. So what that means, I'll give you a quick example. Anyone who goes and fills up their car pays the same amount of taxes, which are actually reasonably high. I think we have the third highest.
10.6%?
More than that, I think now. But we have one of the highest gas taxes in the nation. I think we have the third highest. I may have dropped to fourth, but we're in the top five for sure.
Yes.
And so what that's a regressive tax. So what that means is that it doesn't matter if you are not working and are on food stamps, or if you make $1 million a year, you still pay the same amount of tax because you went and put gas in your car. So that's mm-hmm. regressive. Mm-hmm. It influences everybody regardless of how wealthy they are or how much they make in a given year. So there has been a push in Washington State of how do we tax people who make more money instead of let's use a sales tax. So again, a sales tax is a regressive tax. If you buy something that is taxed, shampoo has a tax on it in Washington. It's a sales tax. Then it doesn't matter.
That's the one that's 10.6.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't matter how much you make. Every penny pays the same amount of tax. Again, that's regressive. So Washington has for many years, there's been a much bigger push in the past 5 to 10 years of we've got to correct this system because the gap of haves and have nots is widening. And I do believe that's true, actually. The middle class is becoming less and less. There's not as many union jobs, and the unions typically made a middle class possible. So therefore, there's becoming a wider gap in many people's statistically. And so now Washington State has come up with the notion of we're going to implement a capital gains tax. Mm. Now, the initial, when that law came out about a year and a half ago now, the initial push is no, that's an income tax. And constitutionally, that's not allowed. So you're not allowed mm-hmm. to have a capital gain tax. What's a capital gain tax? So a capital gain tax is a tax on an asset that you hold for a period of time, whether it's short or long, that you bought at a certain level. And if you made money, or it doesn't actually matter if you make money or lose money, that there's a tax associated with the transaction of an asset. So the easiest one for most people that most of us utilize is that if we bought a stock and that stock went up in value, if we sell it, the federal government says, because you made money on that stock. So let's say you bought it for $1,000 and it went up to $10,000. Then you sold it. Well, you made $9,000 of gain. Mm. Well, the federal government goes, we want a portion of that $9,000 of gain. That's income. So it's called a capital gains tax. That is different than earned income. It's taxed at a different bracket. And so now Washington wants to use the same taxing philosophy for that. If you were to sell that same $10,000 stock and made $9,000 on it, now Washington may impose a capital gains tax on that as well. So now we may have a federal capital gains tax, and you may be subject to a Washington state gains
does
tax.
Does this affect stock that's like within a 501, or not a 501, but your Roth IRA or your different IRA and retirement accounts?
Yeah, so retirement funds are excluded from this. There are some exclusions. There are some limited scopes that this capital gain is applicable to. The biggest one that is not exposed to the capital gains tax in Washington is real property.
Yeah, I was going to say that would be the most common would be the house you bought for $200,000 and now it's worth $1 million.
Specifically, if it's your second home. Mm-hmm. So if it's an investment, you may have had a second home that has been an investment home and now you sell it. Well, you're under a capital gains tax, depreciation recapture, many other things on the federal system. But Washington state has said that real property is not going to be subject to the capital gains tax. Now, we're already under an excise tax in Washington. And as a matter of fact, in the thinking of the case in Quinn versus the state of Washington is the case that went to the Supreme Court. They used the analogy of the excise tax or the business occupation tax as two similar taxes of actually saying this is why we think that a capital gains tax is not income in Washington state. And really what the Supreme Court said is that the Washington State Supreme Court is that this is a tax on the privilege of selling an asset. So it's not a tax on the asset itself, because if it was, that would be income, and we're not allowed to do that. So therefore, it's not a tax on the actual asset. It's a tax on the privilege of selling an asset. Yes, okay. And that's the word that they use. That's how they actually came up with the excise tax. It's not a tax on the property itself for just holding and owning property. At the excise tax, the 1.76% of if you sell a property, you are subject to paying a tax. Why does the seller pay that tax? Because it's a tax on the privilege of selling property. And that is the same reasoning that they used in this case, which is, we are going to tax you on the privilege of selling a stock, on selling a business. Okay, so those are the two big things. On selling a yacht. So when you have the privilege of selling something, then it's not a tax on the asset. It's a tax on the action that you are taking, which is selling something. And therefore, they said it sidesteps that it's not a income tax, and therefore it's a tax on the privilege of an action. Hmm. That is how the Washington State Supreme Court reasoned that this is going to be upheld, because most people believe that this was not going to be upheld, that most people believe that as a matter of fact, it's been tried in the past, and Washington State has shot down this type of a taxing structure, is saying it is an income tax. Well, they have now determined that it's not. So in a progressive, quote-unquote, liberal state that we live in, now we have a more liberal-thinking Supreme Court. And therefore, they're going to find a way to bring this taxing philosophy of we have to tax those who have more to create a greater balance in our society. Mm. So therefore, Washington State has upheld their capital gains tax. And so we need to talk about, well, who is subject to this and who's not. So,
okay, well, so, yeah. Well, maybe this is a good place to take a quick break and we'll come back and talk more about this. But yeah, Washington now has a capital gains tax that's quite far reaching. We'll see who it
reaches.
But
it's now it's here.
It's here. And we got to deal with it in our estate planning. Paul Grant is an estate and tax planning attorney, and he has wonderful services and maybe can help your estate maybe avoid some of this. Well, I don't know if you can avoid this particular tax or not.
Oh, there's always
ways. But you can plan for it anyway.
That's right.
How do people find out more about your services, Paul?
Yeah, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and much more. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, a new Washington State capital gains tax is now in effect, and Paul is discussing some of the implications of this. Again, remind us of the kinds of things that are subject to this capital gains and what are not. You said real property is not subject to the new tax.
Yeah, that's right. And so to start out with, this is a 7% capital gains tax is imposed. One thing I don't know is whether or not there's going to be any deduction power on a federal level, but just assume that when you have a capital gains tax that you are going to pay 7% to Washington State in addition to the federal capital gains tax. So
So a lot of investing,
Investing. So when you invest, that is the most common place where capital gains, and this is only on long-term capital gains. So is there a way to stay into short-term capital gains? And the answer is yes. So short-term capital gains are when you sell something and within 1 year. So you hold it for less than a year. That is not subject to the Washington State capital gains tax. There are traders. And actually, if you use a lot of financial advisors, then a lot of your stock does move more quickly because they're trying to do a lot more within the market planning. And so therefore, there's probably more short-term capital gains than what people realize are taking place. So that is not subject. Things that you hold for less than a year. But yes, you're not going to buy a second home and rent it out for less than a year. You're typically going to make a long-term investment play in buying a second home to rent it. But real estate is excluded. So that's one of the biggest things that's excluded is real estate. But small businesses have an exclusion power, which is because I was really concerned with small businesses, which is, small business owners already pay a lot of taxes in Washington State. They have generally a 1% tax just off the top, and that's gross, by the way. You don't get any deductions off of that. So there's already a tax in Washington on businesses, and there's a tax on selling property. So the two things that there's already a tax on, they excluded up to a certain degree. If a business small business, it has to be family owned. So if you are the only owner, or if you own it with another family member, then it might be excluded from this capital gains tax if you have if the business produces less than $10 million a year in gross revenues, not net again. Washington is at least staying consistent with using gross numbers, but it's only if you own it. So if you have a partner, then you're done. So if it's not a family member, then it does not apply in the exemption amount.
What about married versus single?
Yeah, that's what, a big one, which is really against the taxing system. So the federal taxing system is that you get exemptions per person. So if you sell a home for a married couple, you have $500,000 of gain that you can exclude. So let's say you bought a home for $500,000 and you sold it for $1 million and you're married. You get a $250,000 exemption amount per person. So in other words, in that $500,000 gain, a married couple would not pay any capital gains tax. But if you were single and you had the same home, the first you would get a $250,000 exemption, and then you'd pay capital gains on the next $250,000. Well, with this new capital gains tax, it's not per person. It is per tax return. So therefore, married couples actually get a dinged. So that it's actually negative to be married in this taxing system, which is really a head scratcher. It'd be interesting to see if there's any lawsuit that could push against that, that it's not a per person exclusion amount. So right now as it's written, it's $250,000 period. I have not researched whether or not if you file separately as a married couple that you would actually then be able to get $250 per person versus married couples.
I thought you just said, though, that it doesn't affect property, that capital gains does not affect property.
No, I'm not talking about real estate. I'm talking about who is taxed. So you get $250,000 per tax return. It doesn't matter if you're married or single. So yes, real property is excluded. But many people sell businesses that wouldn't qualify under the family exclusion. Others may sell more than $250,000 of stock. Maybe they had stock options in a company and now they're retired and they're going to sell that. So that would be a big ding. You sell a boat that had more than $250,000 of gain. That would be something
Do
that you would have.
Do boats go up in value?
Oh, yeah, they can.
Okay.
They can, absolutely. Airplanes go up in value. So airplanes have really skyrocketed in the past years because if you own an airplane and it's what you do with your spare time, they've really gone up in value. They've been a really good investment over the past 5 years because parts are harder to come by. Mm. And so there's many places where you could quickly come into $250,000 of capital gains that are not real property. And so you do not get $500,000 as a married couple. It's per tax return is my understanding. So I don't know if that means in different years you may have to file separately as married couples. Mm. We'll have to see how that plays out.
Mm. Sounds like this is getting pretty complicated.
Oh, so yes. Taxes are so fun to talk about on the radio.
Yeah, are there potential ways to then for you to help those who might be subject to tax through business ventures or trusts?
Yeah, it's possible. Creating a small business that is family owned, even if you own a business with another partner, having now that pull back in your interest is owned directly by a family limited partnership. So family limited partnerships have not been used as much over the years, at least from the business planning perspective. LLCs have been really the way to go. But we may start seeing in Washington State a rise in family limited partnerships. And so instead of owning your business with a partner that is not a family member. So if you and I owned a business, Mark, then I may want to own my part of the interest in our business in a family limited partnership now. And so so your partner would not be Paul Grant. It would be Paul Grant's family limited partner, so that if we sold our business, the money moves back to the family limited partnership, where I'm going to be taxed through that entity instead of through our partnership. Because if it was through our partnership, then I'm paying a capital gains if we sold our business. Or if our business owns stock, so let's say we had a couple great years and we decided to invest our money together to create a stronger business financial outlook, and we sold some stock in our business, well, that comes back to our personal tax return. So anything that comes through to our personal tax return as capital gains, even if it was through our business, that would be taxed in, that would be subject to this $250,000 capital gains in Washington State. So are there ways? Oh yeah, there's always ways. And we're just starting to think through the possible ways to say, well, okay, Washington, if you're gonna do this step, then what are the legitimate, purely legal ways that we can then counter this? Are there ways to develop trusts that may not be subject, that the trust pays the capital gains instead of the individual, and that they're not subject to it? Absolutely. So right now, trusts are not subject to capital gains. So there are business ways. There are trusts that can be developed that will assume the capital gain treatment, and on a federal level, that will not harm you federally, but yet will save you from this 7% capital gains tax. So yes, the law is, fortunately, you know, my job is to look at the law and to find out that whether it was what we call narrowly tailored, whether it was written broadly or narrowly. And there are some places that that have some outs. And so are there ways that if you are going to be up against selling a lot of stock in 1 year because you're retiring and you've been given stock options, so you've worked for the Microsofts, the Boeings, the Googles, the Starbucks, and there's all of a sudden you're going to be hit with a large capital gains tax. Are you selling a business? Well, yes, then there are things that we may be able to take a look at, because 7% is a reasonable hit.
Yeah.
If you're talking about $250,000 or more. So for most individuals that have a modest estate, that have modest assets, are you going to be bumping up against this $250,000? The answer is no. Most of us are not. So, but for those that are, we need to really think through, what does this mean, and how can you put it this way? There needs to be more planning now with what you are about to sell, instead of just simply having the flexibility to make a business decision or a selling a stock. There may need to be, I'm going to sell some of the stock this year, and can I wait until next year to split it? There's a thing called an installment sale, which is that you get paid over time. So each year you get paid. That is going to be upheld in Washington. So installment sales are another way to think through long-term sales, so that the capital gains is spread over multiple years. So there are ways that you can mitigate and stay away from this 7% tax, but it's going to take planning now. It's not going to just be, hey, let's sell this, whatever I have that's going on. A couple other things. So family businesses, there's an exemption there. There's an exemption for cattle and horses. Yep, horses, cattle, and livestock. Mm. And so the farming community, if 50% of your income is based upon the sale of cattle or farming, then there's exemptions for farmers, because we which is good. Timber is also not going to be taxed. So if you're in the timber industry, or you have timber that you are going to harvest, if you have a lot of property and you harvest timber every fifth, anywhere from 5 to 10 years, that is not going to be subject to the capital gains. So there are some exclusions. Short-term capital gains are not subject to this, and losses can be carried forward as well. So there's things that there are some outs to this, but I think we're just going to have to be
a little bit smarter. It's here to stay. Washington State now has a capital gains tax.
That's right, at 7%. So
7%.
We have to be intelligent. We have to talk about it. There are strategies. So now we just have to think a little bit more.
Okay, if you've been thinking about this as you're listening to the show and you need more help, more counsel from Paul Grant, he'd love to help you with your estate and tax planning issues. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us. Would love to have you communicate and contact us, legacyandfaith.com.
Legacyandfaith.com, Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.